While the search for a motive for the Mandalay Bay massacre continues, with many questions still left unanswered, the tragedy has created an additional question in the minds of people as, well, such as yourself, for example. What would I do if I wound up being fired at from an unseen assailant? Do you slip into single defense mode? Or would you stop to help others? Would you distance yourself from the scene or take the fastest path to closer cover? My next guest is here to discuss something we never think about, which magnifies the danger that can take place when it happens. He's written about this with his book, Surviving a Mass Killer Rampage When Seconds Count, Police Are Still Minutes Away. He's a former British Army officer as well as former crime reporter for the San Antonio Express News, Chris Bird. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Pleasure to be with you, Chris.
And privateerpublications.com is where you can get Chris's book, Surviving a Mass Killer Rampage, which in your book you write about instances such as Virginia Tech or San Bernardino, enclosed cases where a shooter comes in to do a rampage. What happened in Las Vegas, that's a whole new page in the book, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is, yes. We've not seen anything quite like this. The mantra that even the federal government some of their law enforcement agencies are now suggesting to civilians caught up in this sort of thing, run, hide, fight. Well, fight was obviously not an option because the guy was apparently 32 stories up in the Mandalay Bay Hotel, and I'm told it was about 400 yards from the people that he was shooting at. So fight was not an option, which sort of leads to run or hide. The problem with both of those is that I don't think many people, if any, who were on the ground there, knew where the gunfire was coming from. It's natural for us to look for danger at our own level. Very few people will look up to see where a danger might be.
And certainly in that environment, too, in Vegas, I mean, the common assumption, because you don't think of this happening, when you hear that background noise like we've heard in those phone videos, well, it's fireworks down there at the Borgata, for example, or the Venetian, or, you know, someone's blowing off fireworks somewhere around here. That was pretty much the prevailing initial thought. That's why even Jason Aldean on stage kept singing for like 20, 30 seconds before he got off.
Yeah, that is another problem. People are very loath to believe that they are hearing gunfire. In the case of Virginia Tech, initially people who heard the shooting there thought that it was a nail gun being used on a construction site. Same sort of denial, if you like, occurred in Las Vegas. People were loath to acknowledge that it was actually gunfire, and thought it was firecrackers.
Ironically, too, you mentioned how people didn't know what direction the gunfire was coming from. That was probably because the bump stocks that the shooter used to convert the semi-automatics into pretty much machine guns, when you do that, your aiming ability is pretty much shot. So it's the dog walking the owner in a case with a weapon like that. So whether he intended it to be or not, it was a spray fire.
I think you're right. I think what he was doing was shooting at an area filled with people, rather than picking out individuals to shoot at. And so it was the results were very random. One person may get hit, and standing right next to him or her is another person that isn't hit. And I must say I was impressed by the reports of the number of people who stayed and tried to help the wounded, both by putting them into cars, driving them to hospitals, and also doing things like using crowd barricades on their sides as makeshift stretchers. A lot of people stayed behind particularly those who had some sort of training in first aid, because most people who die of gunshot wounds die from loss of blood. So it's really important to stop that as soon as you possibly can.
Dr. Chris Bird, who is the author of Surviving a Mass Killer Rampage, When Seconds Count, Police Are Still Minutes Away. He's also a former British Army officer and former crime reporter for the San Antonio Express News. PrivateerPublications.com is where you can get Chris's book and learn more about his ideas and insight into the tragedies. But out of tragedy comes wisdom, in an odd way to say. But in a case like this, again, being so extreme, is this the final point of realization that we just have to change the way that we live our lives, and we just can't leave ourselves open as open prey in cases like this? We bark at security when a school board debates about having armed security installed, retired police who know what to do with a weapon, not giving a sawed-off rifle to the janitor as a comparison. People complain about that, but those are the same people who, if they're going to a TV talk show, have no problem walking through a metal detector.
Well, I don't believe that we ought to change our habits, because then you're acknowledging that the bad guys have won. And I think that that was very noticeable after 9/11. Now the dog and pony show that people have to go through at airports is mostly ridiculous. My first impression after 9/11 was somebody had probably smuggled guns, a cleaner or something, onto a plane, and that's what they had been used. It turned out that I was wrong on that, but I gather the security for ground personnel is not half as stringent as it is for ordinary travelers who have to take their shoes off. And the politically correct part of, well, don't let's profile. Why not? The Israelis do, and they're quite successful at it. But, I don't think we ought to change our way of life and acknowledge that these people are winning. I also think that we've had a couple of cases that have gone to the Supreme Court where people have sued police departments for not protecting them. And the Supreme Court has said the police departments have no duty to protect individual citizens. And when you think about it, it makes sense, because otherwise, every time somebody's purse got snatched or somebody got smacked around, they would sue the police department for not protecting them. So basically what the Supreme Court is saying is that you are responsible for your own safety. And I've always believed that, which is why I'm a big proponent of concealed carry.
Which certainly here in New Jersey, you might as well try to go out inside of your house and move it 6 inches to the left. You'll have an easier time doing that than getting a right to carry permit in this state and other states, by the way. And also states recognizing other states' right to carry laws. That's a whole other issue, too. New Jersey, for example, wouldn't recognize you if you came over from Philadelphia. You'd get arrested for having a gun concealed in the trunk of your car, even if it's broken down with the cartridge out.
Yes, I've heard those stories. In fact, in one of my earlier books, I recount a guy who came from Salt Lake City, where he could have a gun legally. He was headed for Allentown, Pennsylvania, where he could legally have a gun, but he had to change planes at Newark, New Jersey, and his plane was late, so he was told to get his baggage, go to a hotel, come back the next morning. Well, when he came back, being a law-abiding citizen, he tried to check in and mention that he had these guns, and he was arrested, and I think it took him 10 days to get out of jail, and it took him 2 years to get his guns back.
Yeah, welcome to New Jersey. The Second Amendment is just a rumor.
Well, there's an awful lot of politicians and bureaucrats who really find the Second Amendment inconvenient.
Wrapping up with your book, Surviving a Mass Killer Rampage, because as we said, the Mandalay Bay massacre was the whole new page, but we've seen a chain of from nightclubs to workplaces to civic centers. What's a common lesson for the person not to be fearful, but to be aware and know what to do in those type of enclosed places if someone invades or someone snaps and, okay, it's life or death time, let's do it.
Right. There are things that you can do, and you mentioned the most important one, and that is situational awareness. I am appalled by the number of people I see paying absolutely no attention to what's going on around them because they're either talking on their cell phones or they're texting, and there could be an earthquake before they actually looked up from those cell phones. You need all the time, particularly in public, to be aware of what's going on. And very often, if you are aware of your surroundings, you can avoid bad things happening. If you see a cluster of people around your car when you come out into the parking lot, you've just been to a store, go back into the mall and maybe get a security guard to accompany you. Any time you think something's wrong, obey your instincts. They're seldom wrong.
It's better to be wrong than be dead.
Right, absolutely. And again, take the attitude that you are responsible for your own safety and the safety of your loved ones. Don't rely on the police. And this is no criticism of them, because they can't be everywhere at once, and we wouldn't want to live in a society where there was a police officer on every corner. So it's up to you to maintain your safety.
And it's that awareness that puts you ahead of that risk, that assailant, or that danger. It gives you a better position to either battle it or escape from any harm that could come from it. So then what Chris does with his book, Surviving a Mass Killer Rampage, When Seconds Count, Police Are Still Minutes Away, he takes those real-life cases and through his analysis gives you the lessons that you can apply to your personal safety and to that of your family, your friends, your workplace, and it goes on from there. So it is a book that's, like it or not, in these days and times, it is a necessary knowledge for you to have for your personal well-being and safety and for those that you care about. So visit privateerpublications.com. Book again is Surviving a Mass Killer Rampage, When Seconds Count, Police Are Still Minutes Away, written by a former British Army officer as well as former crime reporter for the San Antonio Express News, Chris Bird. Chris, thanks for being here today.
It's been my pleasure, Chris.